Hello and welcome to another episode of the Manchester is Red podcast, here by the Manchester Evening News. I am your host, Ash Barami, and I am pleased to be joined by Charlotte Dunker.
Hello.
And Tyrone Marshall.
Hello.
How are we doing, guys?
Yeah, not very bad, good. Thank you.
Very, very good.
Very well, thank you.
It's a day on now from United's 0-0 draw against Liverpool, Charlotte, and I mean, review going over that game. Apart from the injuries in the first half, it was a pretty disappointing game, wasn't it?
Yeah, I think it wasn't the spectacle everyone was hoping for. And if you go back over the years, United have got a very good record against Liverpool at Old Trafford. And there was definitely a lot of optimism, I think, from the fans that they could, given the current form, go and beat Jurgen Klopp's side. And especially after the hurt in December that was inflicted on the travelling supporters, it was a time for them to get their own back, but it just didn't happen. But I think on reflection, if you ask most United fans, they'd be happy with the point, especially once the mood seemed to change once the team sheet had dropped. I think there was a lot of optimism before the team sheet dropped, and then you found out there was the injury to Matic. No disrespect to Scott McTominay, but there was a lot of panic. I thought he played very well, to be honest. There was a lot of concern that he was coming in, changing that midfield three, which has worked so well for United since Solskjaer came over in the last 13 games or so, to change that, the basis of your team and the way they were going to play. Bear in mind, Jesse Lingard was on the bench, Anthony Martial wasn't involved at all. I think the mood changed. So if you consider that, and obviously all the freak three injuries in the first half, I think on reflection, it is probably a good point for United.
Yeah. Ty, you were at the game reporting on it. Would you say it's a good point for United in the circumstances?
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. You know, considering they were playing a team now top of the league, going for the title, and to suffer the amount of bad luck that United did in the build up to the game, and then during the first half, basically play the second half with 10 and a half men. Every time Rashford made a run or a sprint, he hobbled away from it. So, you know, to go through that, I think you have to say it's a fantastic point. If you'd have told United fans the day before that McTominay would play 90 minutes and Pereira would play the best part of 70 in midfield, then, you know, I think they'd have feared the worst, and I don't think you'd have got many expecting a clean sheet out of it. So, yeah, it was a really good performance. It was a gutsy performance. There's a lot of character on show. You know, it was a tick in the box for Solskjaer as well. He showed he could reorganise a team. That half-time team talk, when you've made so many changes, when you've got another player who's carrying an injury, must have been very difficult. And, you know, he was really sort of micromanaging it second half. So it's a tick in the box for him that he's managed to reorganise it, and still, you know, they're probably the better team in the second half, had the better chances at least, and, you know, they defended resiliently for all Liverpool's sort of possession last 20 minutes or so, maybe, that there was never, you know, we never looked like they were going to particularly score.
Because that was a problem against PSG, wasn't it? The injuries affected the flow of the game.
Yeah.
And then once he made the substitutions, even though they had a half-time break to come, whatever was said in that half-time team talk wasn't enough to implement the second half, like have an impact on the second half performance. Whereas, like you just said there, they had to make very bold changes and big decisions, and they were big players that went off. Like, it wasn't Scott McTominay that's gone off. It was Herrera, who's been one of United's best players in the last few months, and you'd expect him to have been up there vying for the man of the match. He had to go off. Mata and then Lingard was another blow, but arguments whether he should have even come on in the first place.
Yeah, I noticed as well a bit of criticism Solskjaer was getting on social media at the time when Lingard did come off. How much of a damning assessment do you think that is for Alexis Sanchez when you've got an injured player, someone who clearly wasn't 100% coming on the bench, and also Pereira, who is pretty much just a backup player for United, that Sanchez
is there? I think the problem is we don't know to what level Lingard was fit, because didn't he come on in like the 24th?
It was early, yeah.
24th.
So he said, what did he said? Solskjaer said he wasn't fit enough to play the full 90, is what he said, wasn't it?
Yeah.
So it's just you've got to hope that Solskjaer must have been confident enough in his fitness abilities to put him on, rather than thinking a 60% fit Jesse Lingard is better than a 100% fit Alexis Sanchez, because if that's his thought process, then there isn't really a future for Sanchez at the club if they're going to play someone who's not fit ahead of him.
Yeah.
I think, and you know, if he's not fit to play 90 minutes, then he's probably not particularly fit to play 70. So in that regard, it was an unusual move. But he is the more obvious replacement for Mata. Sanchez is, in theory, a more direct wide player, a bit more, you know, run at players.
Well, they changed formation, didn't they?
Yeah, whereas Lingard can kind of knit it all together for a midfield. At his best, he's like having a midfielder and attacker on with his intelligence, and he's more of a... You would think of him as more like-for-like replacement for Mata. If you put Sanchez on for Mata, I think that's a more attacking move. And if Enormity had, you know, a couple of injuries, I think that would have been more of a risk. So that's probably why he's done it. But I think it was a big ask to get Lingard through 70 minutes. But
and it's backfired.
It has backfired. But had it not backfired, we wouldn't have been talking about it. You know, it was a freak circumstances that he did his hamstring again in that challenge with Fabinho. And, it, you know, it's just one of those things. But it was a risk from the manager, but... I'm sure he spoke to the medical team about it. I'm sure he spoke to Lingard about it. And Adam obviously felt he could do 70 minutes, but just
there was
didn't
no
work out.
Chelsea-esque drama, was there?
No, you know, not like, quite.
No.
Lingard, you're going to go on. No, I'm not. Imagine. Yeah. It could have been the total opposite of what we saw in the Carabao Cup final. Please don't put me on.
No one would do that, Ollie, would they?
No, he's too nice. Just too seems, nice. Just seems too nice.
Too nice.
He's too loved. He's too well loved. But after the game as well, I mean, was it Jurgen Klopp who came out and said that the injuries almost... I mean, you think United would complain about the injuries, but Jurgen Klopp said it almost... It had damaged Liverpool in a way that it upset the rhythm of the game and affected his players.
It just seems like bizarre, wasn't he it? Has to come up with a different excuse every time. It's been the grass, it's been the wind, it's been... What, like the injuries, because we were obviously waiting to see what he was going to say, give his assessment of the game. And from their perspective, from a Liverpool camp's perspective, they've got to be disappointed that United were there for the taking and they didn't take it. Like, if you can't beat that, what that team came out, they must have been so excited and thinking, yeah, we're going to go top here, clear by 3 points. They couldn't grind out a result against, I'm not saying it was United's second string, but a lot of the team was.
Yeah,
I mean, you can kind of see where he's coming from, and it did disrupt the flow of the first half. But I think sometimes as a manager, you just, even if you think that is the case, and it may well be the case, sometimes as a manager, you've just got to think, I'm best off just not saying this, because he is just going to come across.
But they were replaced by players who arguably weren't as good as the ones that were on in the first place. So surely that's going to... I understand that they've got a game plan to, I don't know, man Mark Pogba, and then someone's going to be on Herrera, fine. But then you then you just switch the players.
Yeah, you do. There's a strong argument for that. But, you know, the first half was a complete non-event because of those injuries. And Liverpool did suffer one themselves as well. I'm sure if any manager has to play against a team that's made three substitutions in a first half,
it's going to throw them off.
But, you know, by saying it, you are just opening yourself up to making yourself look stupid.
And if you're going to win the Premier League, you're going to have to be able to adapt your team to come up with whatever circumstances you come up against in a game. Someone gets sent off, three players get injured, whatever happens. If you're good enough to win the Premier League, you should be able to adapt to fit whatever circumstances in front of you.
Fundamentally, it might have made life trickier or given them something to adapt, but they still should have gone on and won the game. So, you know, had they gone on and won the game and he'd said that, it might not be such a big issue, but that's where they failed. They should have come to terms with it quicker. They should have found a way to take control and dominate the game and win it, but they couldn't, and they got nowhere near, really.
Yeah, and one player who didn't go off was Luke Shaw, man of the match performance, pocketed Mohamed Salah, who actually got substituted himself. He's really coming on this season, isn't he, Luke Shaw, in terms of his maturing, and he's becoming a top left back, isn't he?
Yeah, and I think it says a lot about him as a person that it was well known that Jose Mourinho wanted to buy a left back. They wanted to strengthen in that position, and what does that say about him? Mourinho didn't have much confidence in him, and it's not just been under Solskjaer that he's improved. The whole season, Lukaku said, didn't he, in his mixed zone quotes, that he's up there for one of the players of the season. And he is at the minute, because if you go back the whole season, there was players like Pogba who've disappointed for the first half. Obviously, he's been excellent since, but across the whole span, who's been consistent? I'd say he's up there with the best in the team.
Yeah.
I mean, he's already played the most games in a Premier League season in his time at United. This season, you know, I think he played 16 in his first season. Then obviously since then he's had his issues with injury, his issues with not being selected, a bit of tough love, whatever you want to call it, from Mourinho. But, you know, this has undoubtedly been his most consistent season so far. He's still only 23. And, you know, when they signed him from Southampton, he was one of, if not the hottest left-back prospect in Europe. So there's no reason to think he can't kick on from there and get back to that level. He's a very modern fullback in that he can get forward as well as defend. He said it was probably his best game defensively yesterday. He did keep Salah very quiet with help from Lindelof, it should be said. And, you know, I mean, left back's one area that certainly in terms of starters that United don't need to look at, because Luke Shaw, if he can carry on like this, and he said after the match that he thinks there's still more to come from him. You know, he can make that slot his own for years and years if he can keep going at this rate.
And that says a lot, doesn't it? And he's managed to change United's transfer strategy just by digging in, working hard in pre-season, taking himself off. He went to Dubai, didn't he, and did that. Those training, took a United coach with him to Dubai to do that extra training before pre-season even started. It's through his commitment and determination and hard work, testament to him that he's done that and changed the transfer strategy, really.
Lukaku said yesterday that he was at the World Cup with Belgium and Russia and was getting messages from Shaw of videos while Shaw was in New York of him just doing running and doing various fitness exercises, and he thought then, you know, we're going to see a different player this season, and I think United definitely have.
Yeah, I'll put this question to both of you. I mean, which positions do you think have been nailed down going into the summer onwards of players that you think that United have made that position on?
Well, we were discussing this before, weren't we?
Obviously, the two I can think of straight away is obviously David De Gea, possibly Luke Shaw. I mean,
Lindelof, I'd say.
Yeah.
Right back's is an interesting one. There's nothing wrong with Ashley Young at the minute, but he's getting older and older, isn't he? But then Delo's come in. So if you think, it depends how he fares in his second season. He's not been given as many chances, understandably, this season, but the same happened with Lindelof. If he can do a Lindelof next season, then United aren't going to need to buy another right back. And you'd hope that, given they've spent money to bring a right back in, that's looking forward to the future, because he's, what, 19 years old?
Yeah.
So still going to be young next season, but maybe half and half with Ashley Young. You'd imagine they wouldn't be buying a right back. But then, what do we say? One world-class midfielder.
Yeah.
But then you need backup in midfield as well, like squad players.
Yeah.
Midfield's a tricky one. I mean, we were talking about it because I was kind of comparing it to, you know, United are closer to the top at this stage of this season than Liverpool were at this stage last season. Liverpool have gotten the title race through a very good summer transfer window and signing Van Dijk last year. They had two major, major issues in their squad, or in their first 11 in terms of goalkeeper and defender. So just spent a shed load of money on signing the best players they could get in that position. They didn't have much depth in midfield, which you'd say is an issue for United as well. So they signed Fabinho, Keita, got Shaqiri in pretty cheap, and suddenly you've got more depth. There's nothing wrong, I don't think, with United's current three starting midfielders. The issue is there's a huge drop off once they go out.
That was shown yesterday, wasn't it?
It was, yeah.
That if there's anything to take from that game yesterday, it was highlighted that there isn't the strength and depth of squad needed. If United want to push on and challenge for the title next season, the season after, it needs to be a squad rebuild as much as never mind just, all right, spending £90 million to bring in Koulibaly, for example, at the back. That's absolutely fine. They do need to spend that sort of money to buy a Van Dijk-esque sort of player, but they need to be bringing in these 20, £30 million players who can be trusted to and are good enough to step up when needed.
Yeah, I think if they signed a world-class centre-back, you know, if they spent 150 to 200 million on a world-class centre-back and another world-class attacker, and then signed two centre midfielders that are on a level of Matic and Herrera, maybe strengthened at left back and gave Shaw some competition and a reasonable standing, then I don't think, as Liverpool have shown, I don't think you're far off being in a title race there. But it's easier said than done to get all of those positions right and to get that recruitment right. But what Liverpool have shown, although we didn't look at yesterday, you know, somehow they are in this title race. So what it has shown is that, you know, United can, in one transfer window, transform themselves from the position they're in now to be in title challenges next season if they get it right this summer.
Yeah, and in terms of players who can be trusted, I mean, Scott McTominay played yesterday, he started the game yesterday. Do you think he has earned that right now? I mean, he put in a good shift against a team that's top of the league, and you'd think he's almost just justifying why he got given that contract with that performance yesterday, Charlotte.
Yeah, I thought he played very well yesterday. I thought he did a good job. They're both laughing at me because I was quite critical when the team news came out. I would like to think I wasn't the only person who thought, oh dearie me, Scott McTominay has come in to take over from Matic, who's been pretty solid in the last 2 months. I think there might have been some panic amongst the match-going United fans when they saw his name, but credit where credit's due. I thought he was solid. He had a good game. Should he be a regular in United starting 11? No, he shouldn't, because that's not his fault. There are better players ahead of him in the pecking order, but he's shown that he is capable to step up, and the way that it's going, no doubt he'll be starting on Wednesday against Crystal Palace as well.
Yeah, in Solskjaer post-match, Tyrone, he compared him to... Solskjaer compared McTominay to Dan Fletcher, a good United player from the past. I mean, what do you make of that performance? And I mean, I know you wrote a piece when he signed that contract defending McTominay, but what do you make of that performance?
Yeah, I thought he played well. I thought he was good. You know, I thought he was...
The player who devised the desk.
Yeah, very much so. Very much so.
Towers.
He's, I think he's the type of player that you saw United have a lot of under Fergie. Players who come through the system, who if they left United, would probably end up at a lower-end Premier League, maybe even mid-table championship team. Yet they're perfectly good enough to be fifth choice, sixth choice, to fill in certain games when required, happy to fulfil that role at United, and can offer something. And also, you know, it's a link to the academy. It gives kids in the academy belief that they can make it. He understands what the club needs. Rashford can do that, and is, I'll give you that, he's slightly better than McTominay. But you know, you need a squad. If you're going to challenge on four fronts, you need a big squad, and you need players who are happy to play the role of fifth or sixth choice.
Yeah, and that's interesting that you say that, isn't it? Because it's, if he's happy to do that, like, he's still a young player. Yeah. Looking at your prospects, what he needs to decide what he's prioritising in his career and his life, because in reality, he's never going to be a first-choice starter for Manchester United. No. And if by some absolute fluke they go through a whole season, next season, for example, with Pogba, Herrera and Matic, and they buy someone else new and they all remain fit for the whole season, he's barely going to get any playing minutes. Like Solskjaer had him playing for the 23s a couple of weeks ago. So it's whether he's happy to play at that level or to go to a lower league... Premier League side or a side in the Championship that's challenging to come up and play. He could be there, one of their key players, and surely, obviously I'm not a footballer so I don't know, surely you'd rather that and be someone's star man helping in a promotion push to get out of the Championship than to be not in the squad like 9 games out of 10.
It's a difficult one, isn't it? There are players who are happy to just be squad players, and especially when you're a squad player at a club like Manchester United, where you've come through the ranks, and if you're getting 10, 12 games a season, maybe you would take that. I think there are a lot of players like him under Fergie who would find a role at United. It saved the club money in the transfer market in terms of buying players in.
Dan Fletcher's a perfect example.
He stayed at United when he probably could have left when he wasn't getting many games, and eventually became...
He used to be heavily criticised as well, not a fan favourite. And then
he made himself important.
Then he was a loss in that Champions League final in Rome. Everyone was gutted that he couldn't play in it. And that's that. He is a prime example of someone who just stuck in and was, when he was called upon, he did a job. So maybe McTominay can be the new Darren Fletcher.
Yeah, he's... You know, he's an early years Darren Fletcher, you would say, at the moment, in that he's someone who you look at and you think he's not going to make it at United in, as a first teamer, and he's probably not, but he's still got something to offer in certain games. And if we reach this point in next season, United are still in four competitions, and they say they've had 3 games in a week for the last 3 months, there's going to be games where you think, I need to give these lads a rest. Scott, you're playing, and you know you can depend on him.
Charlotte's a believer now.
I think that's fair to say.
I'm a Scott McTominay believer.
Yeah.
Well, after I got called the Scott McTominay of the podcast, I feel like I have to champion my own namesake.
None of us here said that, so that's all right. It's that time again. It's time for our weekly quiz. The weekly quiz question.
I don't think I've got one right. So I'm not holding out much hope for this, to be honest. And Samuel's not here.
You could get this one. You both could get this one.
Yeah, you talk this up nice, so if we don't, we're going to look pretty useless, aren't we?
So the question is, and this is a more general Premier League one based off the weekend.
Okay.
So the last time a Premier League club made three changes before half time in the Premier League.
I was there, if it's about it.
Was. We're going to go to a break.
All right, you've given me a clue.
I have given you a clue.
We're going to go to a break. And obviously, the answer isn't United. I'm talking before that.
Yes.
Yeah. So we'll go to a break and we'll come back with the answer. Hello and welcome back to the Manchester is Red podcast. Before we left you, we gave you the question of the last time a Premier League team made three changes before half time. And Tyrone was the first one to put his hand up with the answer.
If I answer the
But Charlotte team, wants to jump in.
Because I feel like I'm going to get it right and I never get a question right. So my guess is Burnley. But then Ty can do the details. Maybe the three players.
The answer was.
The answer was Burnley. Newcastle, New Year's Day, 2015. I was there in my former life, my old paper covering Burnley. I could give you the three players.
What actually happened for them? I'm presuming they were all injuries.
They were all injuries. Kevin Long played the Jesse Lingard role that day. Long had been at Burnley for years and barely ever got a kick. He was a bit like Scott McTominay in a way in that regard. He was very much a fringe player, and they were already short of centre half that day. He was on the bench. One of the central defenders got injured. I don't know which one. So he came on for his Premier League debut and within 10 minutes or so had done his cruciate knee ligament and was out for about a year and was stretched off before half time. So yeah, they had to make all three. I actually tweeted about this during the game yesterday. So if Charlotte had been following my tweets or had notifications set up on my tweets.
Really sorry. I'll make sure I have push notifications set up for every time you tweet.
She would have known this. But Burnley were 2-0 down at half time, maybe. They were behind anyway a couple of times, I think.
They lost their captain, Jason
Shackle. That's it. He was the first. He was the centre-half.
After 15 minutes.
Yeah. Then did they lose him?
Kevin Long lasted just 20 minutes, so his replacement. So similar, like Jesse Lingard
came on. Yeah, Long in the Lingard role. Yeah.
And then he was stretched off, and they also lost Dean Marnie.
Dean Marnie, I thought it might have been Dean Marnie.
Was he just being sick or something?
Illness.
I can't remember, to be honest. Oh, I don't remember.
Doesn't sound great.
I don't remember him being sick, but it was New Year's Day, so a lot of us were. but Burnley used it as a. It was similar in a way, I suppose, to United. Burnley used it as like a. Almost a backs to the wall. Unifying force, and they were behind a couple of times, already struggling with injuries, and they came back. I think they were behind twice and came back to draw 3-3.
Wow.
And it was very unexpected. And you know, I suppose United in a way kind of did the same in the second half yesterday.
It could have been your piece, couldn't it?
Could have been my piece.
Manchester
actually
United took a leaf out of Burnley's
book. Yeah,
everyone would have read that.
Oh yeah, it's got huge audience possibilities there, hasn't it?
Well, there you have it then. For the people, we were wondering yesterday in the office, have we ever seen that before, three subs before half-time? I was surprised when I found out it was only 2015 the last time it happened.
Yeah, I wonder when the last time it happened before then was, because it can't happen very often. Maybe I'm the link here.
It's probably only been two times.
You're going to be banned from the Old Trafford press box at this rate.
That's going to be a problem, isn't it?
That's going to be interesting, isn't it? Sorry, you're the bad luck charm that makes three injuries happen before the break.
Can't get to any games anymore. Have to watch them all on telly.
Hopefully it doesn't happen again for United anyway. But so moving on, we're going to look at Palace Wednesday night.
Yeah.
Palace away. Charlotte, I think you'll be there covering it for the Manchester Evening News. There's going to be a few injury problems going to that game, obviously, as we've just mentioned. What sort of side do you expect to maybe see? What kind of changes? Do you see someone like Alexis Sanchez coming in, or do you see him on the bench again, maybe?
Yeah, I think we counted up and there's potentially 9 injuries going into the game. Martial wasn't deemed fit enough to even be on the bench, so given the current injury situation, I don't think it would be advisable to rush him back if he's not 100% fit. So maybe it would be another case of him being on the bench again. Rashford's not going to play by the sounds of what Solskjaer said of the state that he was in after the game. Then you're without Mata, Herrera, Matic. Back four stays the same, so that's easy. You'd imagine people are calling for the kids to be called up, and I just can't see that he's going to... I can't see he's going to start the likes of Chong, Gomez, Greenwood. Great for them if they get to be in the squad, which given how many injuries there are, the likelihood is they're going to be in the travelling squad. But Solskjaer said a couple of weeks ago, when he was asked about giving those sorts of young players a chance, the fan favourites that people want to see, like Chong, that there's other players in the squad who don't get enough minutes as it is. So I don't think they're suddenly going to leapfrog them. So Sanchez, yeah, definitely you'd like to see him start. Andreas Pereira is the one that he could play up front. He could play either side of... Mm. If you could play a front three of Lukaku, Sanchez and Andreas Pereira, and then Pogba, McTominay, Fred in midfield. So Fred's not getting any minutes. It could be time for him to step in. And the good thing is that because they know about the injuries that they've got now, is that they've got two sessions to work on a plan. They're not going to be going into the Liverpool game like they did. Matic's injury came quite late on. That was late to then tweak the game plan. You'd hope they're not going to have the same situation where they have three players going off injured before half time. So if they have those players and they're building a team plan around those players, then I think it's going to be a difficult game, to be honest.
Definitely. I think Palace won 4-1 at Leicester at the weekend. They've been in pretty good form of late. They're always a tough team to play at Sellers Park. So I think it will be a tough game. It's going to be a very difficult team selection for Solskjaer. If you want front three, then Sanchez and Lukaku have to play. It's just a case of who goes alongside, and Pereira is a possibility. I suppose in theory you could move Ashley Young into a front three role and play Dalot at right back, but
I feel like that's too much
upheaval.
The back four have been solid.
Yeah, I think it'd be too much upheaval. You could always play Sanchez and Lukaku up front and play a diamond in midfield. We don't know, Phil Jones is injury.
He's still on the injured list, yeah. But we don't know
serious that is. He could probably play, if you played a diamond, you'd probably put Jones at the base of midfield.
Are there any youngsters you would call up? Chong?
You'd call up Chong to the squad.
Greenwood's injured, I think, isn't he?
We also don't know the extent of his injury. If Greenwood isn't injured, definitely send him. Chong, I think, to be honest, James Garner's in with more of a shout They're going to be short in midfield. So
if Matic and Herrera are both out,
they need another midfield. They need another midfielder on the bench.
Perhaps one spare midfielder. And if you play a diamond, if you played a diamond and played Pogba at the tip of it, McTominay, Pereira, and Fred, then you've got no central midfielders.
I feel like we need one of them tactics boards
on the bench.
On like Sky Sports, not that anyone can see us. We can do it like that.
Move it around.
It can be arranged, couldn't it?
Yeah, it could.
We've got the budget for a tactics board?
Probably not.
Get a whiteboard instead.
If you see the state of this room, you'd guess that we definitely don't. But there are big decisions to be made. But I feel like it keeps getting said time and time and again. It gives those players the chance to prove that they have got what it takes and are good enough.
I don't want to sound like a broken record, but do you think this could be Fred's chance?
I'll
save that for another week.
Chance 1 million.
Sanchez keeps getting chances and the injuries are giving him another. You wouldn't exactly say he grabbed it with both hands yesterday, but he's almost certainly getting another chance. With Fred,
feels like so long since I've actually seen him play.
It was 50 days, I think.
Was
on
it the Reading game?
Sunday, yeah, since he last featured. So it's now 51.
And he had a goal ruled out against Reading as well, didn't he?
He was poor against Reading.
Yeah. He not lasted over an hour for the last few starts he's made. And, I did a piece this morning in my talking points and said that there was a lot of comments about Fred when he didn't play, when he wasn't on the team sheet, and McTominay was, about how it was the end of his United career almost, and how it was a damning indictment of his abilities, the fact that he wasn't in that team. But you were never going to replace Matic with Fred in a game like
that.
No,
he's too attacking.
He's more of an attacking midfielder, and he struggled this season with the pace of the Premier League, I would say, in his first game. So to throw him in a defensive midfield role in a United-Liverpool game would have been absolute madness. So I don't think
McTominay played in some really big games.
He played against Liverpool last year. He played started against Chelsea last year. He has played in big games. He's got the experience. So Fred was never going to play in that role. So I don't think him not being involved yesterday was any kind of indication of what his long term future.
But do you not think
holds?
It was more of a damning indictment that Pereira came on?
Yeah,
and Fred could have done that role.
Quite possibly. I mean that. did take a bit of shine off the piece I might have already written.
I didn't think of that. It's a good point.
But again, I think the injury situation at that point and the fact they'd already made a couple of changes.
Because Pereira's not been very good this season either.
No, he's not.
He's been similar to Fred in that there's all this. Pereira was good in pre-season. There was a lot of excitement getting the Brazilians in the team. Yeah. They played in that on the opening day against Leicester. Attack-minded midfield. Everyone was really excited. And then the chances that they've both had since then, they've squandered and they've been pretty poor.
Yeah, they have. But the injuries, I mean, Pereira's had more football recently than Fred has. So perhaps the fact that that was your second change already. You were putting on someone who'd already. No, that was your first change, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Getting confused how many changes there was now.
Three.
Yeah, in which order? yeah, he could have come on and fulfilled that role. But Pereira perhaps provides a bit more solidity in that position. There were obviously already mounting problems because you knew about Rashford's injury, so there were already issues there. So I don't think it signals any kind of. I don't think we can draw any long-term conclusions from Fred's United future from not being involved in that one game. It wouldn't surprise me. I mean, if they did play a diamond.
If James Garner starts ahead of him on Wednesday,
I'll give you that one.
I think we've got some big problems.
You can write that piece. You can have that one.
That'll be my post-match.
Yeah.
Surely that wouldn't happen.
I wouldn't be surprised. If he played a diamond on against Palace, I could see him playing. Or I can see him playing against Southampton next week. Even if they play three in midfield, same action, Herrera is still out. You could see Fred, Pogba and, say, McTominay in the same midfield against a team like Southampton at Old Trafford you expect to dominate. So
the concern is, though, you need some maturity in your your team and your writing. Not yet. We'll just start criticising each other's copy in the podcast. That'd be a new way to go, wouldn't it? I think we should get into this game.
Criticising my own there. I've meant to dig at me rather than you.
Moving on. And if you're bringing in they're not that they're kids, but you're looking round and you wrote the piece about there being different leaders on the pitch, didn't you?
Yeah.
Like Herrera's a leader and that's what he needs to look at when he's deciding who he's going to bring on. It's ridiculous to think that Scott McTominay is a leader, but like you say, he's been around the club for years and he's got a maturity about him. Like Fred, we've barely seen anything of.
Yeah.
New into the Premier League. If you need someone with a sensible head on them, you just can't imagine him being the one. So you've got to get the right balance in the team, especially with the injuries.
I think the thing with Fred is there has to be a hope that he will be better next season for his first season in the Premier League. You do see it a lot with signings from, you know, from overseas and especially from leagues like Ukraine, where, you know, the standard is very different. In Shakhtar Donetsk, they're going to dominate most. I can't say I watch much Ukrainian Premier League action, but I imagine Shakhtar Donetsk are dominating most games. You know, United are dominating a lot here, but not as many as Shakhtar, and the pace of the game is going to be a lot different. So there's going to be things to adapt to. So I think you have to hope that it's going to be better next season. If we're sat here in a year's time, they're having this conversation.
Too early to write him off, isn't
yeah.
it? Off the opportunities he's been given, and it would be unfair to write him off. But you can see why the fans would be alarmed that their 50 million Brazilian summer signing
absolutely
is not getting in the team against Liverpool and an academy kid who hasn't been given many minutes of football himself is getting in ahead of him.
Mm. Even with the injuries, you're still optimistic going into Wednesday, both of you? United.
I think it could be his first defeat.
Yeah.
Domestically,
in the league, yeah. I'm quite aware they lost to PSG.
I think if they win, it would be a hell of a result.
You know what you're going to get with Palace, do you? I mean, when they're at home, under the lights, they're like a different team, aren't they?
Yeah, they're a little bit unpredictable, but I think they have been in pretty good form of late. Zaha looks right back on it. So, you know, I mean, I think it's a tough game there, whatever the situation. I mean, they made it tough for United last year, and they had to, you know, United needed that last minute Matic goal to get a draw. So I think it's going to be a really difficult game, especially with the injuries. I mean, it's hard to say because we don't know the severity of a lot of those injuries, so we are completely guessing.
Yeah,
teams here. So it might be that three of them are fit, and Rashford's fit.
Well, he said Lingard and Martial would be out for 3 weeks, and they missed one game,
yeah,
wasn't it?
Exactly.
Well, Martial's missed this weekend as well.
So we don't exactly know what the situation's going to be, but if you're missing Herrera and Matic, and you're missing all of those, then you've got major problems.
The positive for United is that the back four has been so solid, and they kept a clean sheet against what's supposed to be the most threatening attack force in the Premier League. So if they can do that, then there's no reason why they can't keep a clean sheet.
Palace away is a very difficult Premier League game with a fully fit squad, never mind such a big injury crisis. So it's going to be another test for Solskjaer. It feels like we're saying that every week, but it is going to be. I think it's worth saying as well that, you know, he's had some incredible bad luck in his two biggest games as United manager. To lose five players in the first half combined against PSG and Liverpool is absolutely incredible. You know, he's had such bad luck in those big games. So, you know, maybe he deserves a bit of luck on Wednesday in getting a result and just snatching a 1-0 or something like that.
Yeah, we'll see. Charlotte's complaining about the heat in this room. I must say it is really warm.
It might be a really good time to end the podcast.
It's your lucky day, because we are just about to end. Thank you for both of you for joining me.
Thank you.
We'll see what happens on Wednesday night. Team news as well, we'll all have on the Manchester Evening News website. So thank you all for joining us on the Manchester is Red podcast. If you haven't already, please subscribe to us on Acast or leave a review on Apple Podcasts. And we'll join you again later this week.